You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that is coming up on Saturday the 18th of May. It's Lockinge Day at Newbury, of course. We've also got a good card at Newmarket to look forward to and plenty of other action from around the UK and indeed Ireland. It's live on Racing Radio with Gordon Brown, James Millman and Paddy Aspel throughout the afternoon. So do join the guys in the studio, but here on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and Craig Forsyth is with me. Hello, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, John. Very well. Looking forward to an extremely exciting Saturday.
Yeah, it's good, the Lockinge. I always enjoy it. Of course, the first time we see those older horses in Group 1 company throughout the year. And when we're thinking about the older milers, it really does sort of set the tone for the year to come.
Yeah, it does. It does. obviously, Aidan O'Brien with a favourite. He's made a terrific start to the year. But it looks a really competitive renewal, John, to this year's race. So that's one of numerous races that we can look forward to on Saturday.
Well, we'll start by looking back rather than by looking ahead. And we'll put in a mention for some of the great racing we've seen at York this week. We're recording this ahead of Friday, but we can take a look at what's happened on Wednesday and on Thursday. And, well, I think the performance definitely to mention on the Wednesday, Craig, would be Invincible Army winning the Duke of York and doing it really nicely as well. I was a little bit concerned this might be the sort of horse to just come out, win first time up, and that was going to be his big day every year. But he's silenced me and many other people here by doing it very nicely and certainly setting out his stall for taking his place in a number of the big sprints this year.
Yeah, he was winning a Group 2 at York. And to be honest, John, when you look back to his opening performance of the year at Doncaster and the Camage Trophy, you know, he won that well. But I didn't think that was a fabulous renewal. You know, although he was a good winner, you know, there was reason to believe that numerous horses in behind didn't give the running. Some obviously needed the first start of the season. And Invincible Army was slightly flattered by the margin of victory. But, you know, those things need to be erased in terms of his performance in the Duke of York. He was worth every penny, really, of his winning distance, two and a quarter lengths. And he beat Mr. Jumbo Yafta, who had run well at Newmarket and really taken fashion. And, you know, he now looks ready for that step up to Group 1 company. And I would imagine something like the Golden Jubilee will probably be his next target.
Yeah, a great Vlad Barra for James Tate to have for the yard there, Invincible Army, who was winning that Duke of York on Wednesday at York, appropriately. We saw more group action, of course, on Thursday, Craig. We had the feature race of the entire meeting, the Nantes Stakes, which we'll get onto in a minute. But let's start by talking about Lassie Dar in the Middleton. She was a short price. She got the job done. She was made to work for it a little bit. But I think there was still cause for optimism, given, you know, we're talking about a filly who was obviously a runner-up in St. Leger running over a mile and a quarter here. So she's done what she needed to do on the return.
Yeah, she did. First impression watching the race live was she'd had a harder race than ideal. Mm. But when you watch her back and look at the head-on, she's actually won with a fair bit in hand. I know the distance is only going to tell us it was a neck back to the second, 4.5 back to Sun Maiden, the other Sir Michael Stout runner who finished third. But I think, you know, she's got away with a trip that's going to be just on the sharp side for her nowadays, particularly on fast ground that she encountered yesterday. She's a high-class filly. You know, she's now going to, I presume, step back into Group 1 company. And I'm sure the connections are delighted that, you know, she started her season with a good win. And, you know, there's plenty more to come. They've got a solid base to build their season from. And I think she'll also step back up and trip as well on her next start. Not that she's short of speed, but I think she's better over slightly further than the extended mile and a quarter that she won over at York.
And it's a point that you touched on. I'd make this about the Dante as well as about the Middleton. You've got two horses who weren't separated by that far, but they both finished roughly four lengths clear of a useful-looking field. And so I think the front two in both of the two races going forward, they could be in for good seasons.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, telecast. I mean, you know, you're watching the Dante and you're looking at two horses going fairly hard and you think, well, the jockeys look like they've got every move covered sitting in behind. But you know, Telecaster was able to maintain that gallop all the way to the line. Frankie was alert coming off the bend, realising that, hold on a minute, these two aren't coming back here. Yeah. He was the first to go from the pack.
You could see the moment it clicked in his head, couldn't you? And he was like, right, let's go and catch them.
Yeah, and you know, when he started his run, realising that he was five lengths ahead of Surfman, who in third, who's a big imposing sort by Kingman. He's one horse from the race I certainly wouldn't be given up on, particularly when he goes up in trip as well to a mile and a half. But Telecaster was a good winner, too darn hot. You know, he stayed the trip. You know, he stayed the mile and a quarter out really well. But he left the impression that he will be a better horse over a shorter distance. Mm.
Yeah, we had Ross on the podcast yesterday, Ross Bradley, who was saying he'd like to see too darn hot race over a mile and a quarter going forward, but if he had to change trips, he'd rather drop him back to the mile than step him up to the mile and a half, which connections we're thinking of before this race.
Yeah, indeed. Obviously, the options were the Derby. You know, should he, or if he had have stayed well enough, or stepping him back to the mile for the St James's Palace Stakes, and they've opted for the latter, and I think they're going to head to Royal Ascot for the St James Palace Stakes over a mile. And you know the way he's gone through the race, bearing in mind as well, the vibes were he was a maximum 90% fit yesterday. They'd left a bit to work on. Telecaster was coming off the back of a run and a nice win at Windsor, and Surfman, you know, had a spin at Newcastle as well to blow the cobwebs away. So there was two race fit rivals he split on Thursday. So a good performance, even though he'll be winning Group 1s. Absolutely no doubt this year.
Do you think Telecaster now is the potential fly in the ointment when talking about the cohort of runners that Aidan O'Brien's got in the Derby?
In terms of, I don't think we've seen a Derby horse, you know, this time around in the Dante. Telecaster, I don't think would get away with that type of running style round Epsom.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, he's got away with it at York, but I don't think he would get away with that at Epsom. He's an improving sort. He's taken a big step forward from the Windsor race, you know, into Group 2 company. But again, you know, I don't think the Derby's his race. I think he will be winning other pattern races this year, but not at Epsom.
Okay, well, that was York this week. And of course, Friday, well, probably would have taken place by the time you listen to this, but after we're recording it. So we'll move on to talk about Newbury on Saturday and the Lockinge meeting. And that's where both of your two selections run today, Craig.
It is, yeah. We're going to start in the London Gold Cup, the mile and a quarter handicap. You know, if you look back at previous renewals of this race, this is a race that always works out well throughout the year. One of the stronger middle distance handicaps. And Sir Michael Stout is likely to be responsible for the favourite, Solid Stone. I thought he won well at Newmarket at the Craven meeting. He was one of very few horses that didn't race on the Golden Highway against the Stands Rail that day. And he had to do it, you know, racing alone, no cover in the middle of, well, towards the middle of the track. And he left the impression that a more galloping circuit like Newbury flat track would suit much better. He's only gone up £6. He remains ahead of the handicapper. He's certainly one to be interested in. Forest of Dean was an unlucky loser two starts back at Redcar. I mean, there's a couple of bits of Redcar form I can't believe we're talking about for the London Gold Cup, to be honest.
Lay off Redcar, Craig.
But Forest of Dean is one. He, you know, he went one better at Doncaster. He showed an electric turn of foot. He won the race at Doncaster between the three and the two pole. He kicked clear by a good 2 to 3 lengths, and he wasn't for catching. The overall was decent. He's gone up £8. I think £8 in a better race will probably be enough to stop him. The one I really like in this, John, is Sinjari for Willie Haggis's. Two runs ago, he ran at Redcar. behind Private Secretary. He was one that absolutely flew home from off the pace. That was his first start since June last year, so he was entitled to need his first outing, but he made no mistake at Windsor last time. Now, you look at the results in terms of time comparisons from a couple of races at Windsor. There was a handicap run over the same course and distance. It was won by Clive Cox. Is it Clive Cox? He's amazing. I think it's actually moved yard now to Ed Walker's. He's amazing, won the mile and a quarter handicap. Now, He's amazing clocked a time that was a second quicker than Sanjari. But that doesn't tell a true story, because Sanjari, the closing sectionals were absolutely electric. He was 1.5 seconds quicker than He's Amazing over the final three. And his performance can be upgraded, even though he's ran out a 2.5 length winner. I think an opening mark of 89 is more than fair. We've seen Camelot's progeny really improve as three-year-olds and onwards in their careers. I think this is a horse extremely well handicapped, a strong traveller, and we've seen he's a very quick horse as well, with that closing sectional at Windsor last time. Suggests that he is definitely ahead of his mark. You need to be 7 to 8 pound well in to win the London Gold Cup.
Yeah.
He certainly looks like he's in that bracket.
The feature race of the day is the Lockinge Stakes, of course, Group 1 over a mile for the older horses. It's the 3:40. At time of recording, Le Bravido is the 7-2 favourite. 9-2, Lawrence Beat the Bank is 7-1. 8-1, Lord Glitters. Moustachery is an 8-1. 9-1, Charger Bridge. Double figure prices for the rest. We've got a decent feel for the Lockinge this year, Craig. With the favourite, Le Bravido, obviously won the Jersey Stakes, didn't he, at Royal Ascot a couple of years ago, and has only had a couple of starts since then, now with Aidan O'Brien. Would he be this price 7-2 favourite if he wasn't draped by Aidan O'Brien?
Probably not, wouldn't he? He'd be bigger. But he was an eye-catcher on his first start for the yard at Nace. You know, he clearly that day, it was all about a prep run, really, rather than, you know, trying to win that Group 3, because Ryan Moore, you know, took a pull, really settled him right in at the rear of the field. Got him settled, because he had been keen, you know, in his earlier days. He settled well, you know, he came through and eventually finished third, leaving the impression there was more to come. Is he a miler? You know, I think he'll stay a mile for sure on the evidence, what we've seen of his first start for the Aidan O'Brien team. Stall 14 would be a worry, John. High-drawn horses have really struggled in previous renewals of this race. He's not for me at 7-2.
What's the pick going to be?
The pick... it will be no surprise to some of the listeners after the way I talked him up after Doncaster earlier this year. Charger Bridge for Roger Varian. You know, he looked every inch a group performer when he won at Doncaster, beating Red Starlight. The overall was good. He's clocked the quickest sectionals of the two-day meeting, including some fairly quick sprinters as well. So, you know, that tells us he's got a good blend of stamina and speed. I don't think Sandown played to his strengths last time. You know, he headed Beat the Bank and looked like he was going to come through to win, but Beat the Bank is very, very good at dominating single-figure fields.
Yeah.
And he did that well last time. You know, moving into a 14-runner race, I think this will suit Charger Bridge much better than Beat the Bank. I think he can reverse the form. This looks absolutely, you know, the perfect race for him. And I think he can win a Group 1. So I'd be very keen on his chances. At time of recording, 9-1 each way.
That's the pit then for Craig in the Lockinge. Craig, thanks for being with us on the podcast. More to come now, though, on that Lockinge Stakes at Newbury and the rest of Saturday's televised racing with myself, John Gibby, and William Hill trader, Damien Ainsworth.
Hello, good afternoon. We had a good week at York, and it's on to Saturday, and is it the first group win of the season? Lockinge?
For older horses, yeah. After the guineas, obviously.
That's right,
But for older horses, the Lockinge is. So that's coming up at Newbury. There's also a good card at Newmarket. Number of televised races, of course. Let's start off by taking a look at Newbury. And we'll go through the TV races in time order. And we kick off with the 150, the Carnarvon Stakes, which is a listed race over 6 furlongs for three-year-olds. Even though it is the Lockinge, there are a number of races, big races on Saturday, that are restricted to three-year-olds. This is one of them. And Moyasar and Red Impression, at time of recording, are the joint favourites with us here at William Hill. Is this one where we've seen any major changes this week?
Not in this race. Most of the interest tomorrow has been on the Lockinge. It's an interesting race. You've got three good-looking three-year-olds who look some way ahead of the rest of the field. I would say Kadem, Moyasar and Red Impression. Moyasar is consistent and progressive, but possibly the other two have a bit more quality about them. Kadem's been running up against Calix on his debut and then won twice since, and Charles Hills always produces a good three-year-old sprinter. That's a very interesting one. Red Impression down at the bottom, two from two at the age of two, receives a valuable £5 here. I'd just favour Red Impression in this one.
Well, the next race is a 2.25. We've got Crystal Ocean hanging the betting here. Odds on, unsurprisingly, probably not the greatest betting race of the weekend here, Damien, but it'll be good to see Crystal Ocean back.
Certainly well, looked as good as ever first time out. Won it more impressively, the Sandown race, than he did last year. This, you could say, is even easier. It's very hard to see him beat. A bit of each-way interest would be Laraib. He looks, in turn, quite a long way clear of the rest, especially with Raymond Tusk having to concede a penalty. So it should be Chris Lotion beats Laraib, straightforward.
The 3 o'clock is, well, the big betting race on the Newbury card. We sort of go from a race which is pretty one-dimensional in terms of the betting to a much more intriguing puzzle. This is the London Gold Cup, of course, over a mile and a quarter. Again, restricted to the three-year-olds. Forrester Dean and Solid Stone, joint favourites at time of recording. And again, it's looking like a tricky puzzle to solve, Damien.
This is a tremendous handicap. I think year on year it proves to be possibly the best three-year-old handicap of the season. You get Group 1 horses coming out of this almost every year. So you want to be looking down the field and thinking which of these could turn out to be a top-class horse. Headman's top weight, Roger Charlton, 3 from 3 in this race in the last 8 years, which is interesting. Was a bit disappointing last time out, but he's been heavily supported anti-post in from 9-1 earlier in the week, 13-2 now, his best back to winning the race. Forrester Dean, Gosden De Torre, again, this one could turn out to be well ahead of his mark. He was impressive last time out, has been backed in the last couple of days into 11-2. And I think the only other one you could look at potentially as a group performer is Solid Stone, another that's been well backed anti-post from 7-1. I think those three stand out. I'd just favour Solid Stone.
You mentioned that the Lockinge has been an interesting race anti-post, and it looks an open renewal this year. Librovido is currently the favourite as we record this for Aidan O'Brien, but there's a number of horses in the field, in particular Lawrence, who's a 5-time Group 1 winner, who really could maybe set their mark on this and become the leading miler for the year.
Yeah, there's very little to choose between most of these on ratings. We're just hoping for a standout performance by something in the race. Librovido's the dark horse, but he's never won over a mile, which I think is significant. You don't get winners of this race coming from sprint class in general. He is Aidan O'Brien, though. Lawrence is everybody's darling. That's been well supported. Been backed in from 7-1 anti-post. We've been laying Beat the Bank, who's got a tremendous record at beneath Group 1 level, but when he's been raised to Group 1, he's always found wanting. So there's a reason to oppose that one. Today we've been laying a lot of Aidan O'Brien's second horse, I Can Fly. Wayne Lawden, it wouldn't be the first time he's stepped up, was second in the big mile race last autumn at Ascot. The one I like at a price is Romanized. I think if you look at his first run this season, he's finished just behind Librovido, hasn't had a good run, he's found trouble, and he's better off at the weights, and yet can be backed at 16-20-1. Irish 2000 Guineas winner last year as well, so that's interesting at a price in a race in which anything could win.
So that's a set of our stuff at Newbury, but we've also got some decent stuff at Newmarket, sort of the second classiest meeting of the day. A couple of listed races. We'll start off with the 2.05, where at time of recording, Raise You is the favourite, so we'll see here at William Hill, for trainer Andrew Balding.
Yes, that's an interesting one. That was 15-8 earlier in the week, has been back right down to 5-4. A winner first time out this season in a race which has worked out tremendously well. The third, the fourth and the fifth all won next time. So that form looks good. Danger could be Al Hilali, which was supplemented for the 2,000 guineas. Ended up going off at 8-1 in that race. And yet can be backed at, was 4-1 yesterday, 100-30 now in a considerably weaker race. And had an excuse in the guineas. I think he cut himself, came back with some blood around him. And they'll be expecting a big run for that. So it could be between those two.
Okay, and what about in the other listed race at Newmarket, the 240, the King Charles II?
Yeah, Josh was a very high-class two-year-old, ran up against 10 sovereigns in the middle part, gave him a really good race. But we've been seeing a lot of interest in another one in this race, far above. When we first put the prices out, there were, admittedly, I think there were about 20 horses in there. There's only five. It was now go to post. It was 10-1 earlier in the week. It was 6-1 yesterday. He's now 3-1, I think. He was heavily touted before his debut, won the race, and this is a real dark horse. Could be a good horse, far above.
And we've got another three-year-old handicap and a good-looking one at that on the Newmarket card, the 3.15. And again, looking potentially competitive stuff here. Who's of interest from a trading perspective?
I think the money's been for the favourite here, Morawed. Morawed, Roger Varian, he certainly knows how at the time of day with these improving handicappers. Won well on his handicap debut. Should confirm form with the second Dazzling Dan, who could be overpriced though, because if you look, Pam Sly, you wouldn't get many people supporting her generally, but so that could be overpriced, but I would expect Morawed to confirm the form and run a big race.
Before we let you go, Damien, with the Derby trials now pretty much completed and the Oaks trials as well, of course, we saw Telecaster win the Dante yesterday as we record this. Who have been the big movers? Who do people want to back for the Derby?
They're looking outside the obvious ones. They're looking at the second, third one of Aidan O'Brien today. We're seeing money for Broome, money for Anthony Van Dyke. Telecaster's drifted today. We've pushed him out to 11-2 because there's still some doubts expressed about whether he'll be supplemented for the race. I think they might be thinking the Derby could come a bit too soon. But the horse that beat him on his debut, Bangkok, has just moved in from 16s to 12s in the last 24 hours. So people are having a look and trying to find something outside the obvious ones to back. The Oaks, they are back in the obvious one. Maida Year, 7-2 into 5-2. Bit of a knockover, that'll be a terrible result if that one goes in. And there's an interesting race at Newbury tomorrow. There's a few Oaks outsiders, Lavender's Blue, Sea of Faith and Queen Power. You can get fancy prices about those three at the moment for the Oaks, but whichever one wins that race tomorrow will shorten, I would imagine, to a single figure price. If you like any of those, get on them now.
Okay, well, we're out of time, Damien, but thanks as always for your thoughts on Saturday's racing and looking ahead further to the Epsom Classics as well. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks, Sean. Speak to you later.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.